studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
About Halloween.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Halloween. It is Halloween, isn't it?
Actually, why? The little buggers come out and they all want candy.
Well, I don't know about them wanting candy. I'm saving it for myself.
Right. I want candy.
I'll have all this candy at the door, and when I open the door, I'll give each person one, and then I keep the rest.
That's right. Here's one for you, two for me, one. For me?
Really? Actually, we get lots of candy at Halloween, and then during the entire rest of the year, I eat it.
Yes, but see, if you were a real Scrooge, what you would do is that you'd get dressed up and go to everybody's door, collect candy, and then you'd be handing it out to the people that come to your door, and that way it doesn't cost you anything.
I'm not going to say it. We sort of did that a while ago. We, at the radio station, we took what was left over from the year before and put it in the cupboard and gave it out a year later. Sometimes. And actually, you know, candy doesn't go bad that fast. It's okay after a year sitting in a cupboard.
That's true. But you guys at the radio station would buy it by the pound anyways.
Oh, yeah. By the ton almost. Not really, but I mean, we bought a big, it must have been 60 pounds box of candy, of different kinds of candy. There was every possible thing you could think of. And, of course, when we did, we'd go to the different parades and just throw candy, and tons of it.
Yes, and then the people would be chasing you, going, "What the hell are you doing in this parade? Get out of here!" Anyways, welcome to the show, folks. Speaking of trick or treats, here's our treat. Is that we're back, and I guess that's also our trick.
Yeah, ready or not.
Got as always, lots of things we want to talk about, but of course, the program is really all about you. Nice little sales pitch there. It's about you. Just you and you. And you in the back over there, too. It's about you two. But
W-E.
We don't know about the three of you who listen to us unless you give us a call right now, because we are live, well, some of us are, at 646-721-9887. Again, I would like to invite people.
What's the some of us are?
Hey, I work nights, man.
Oh, I thought you were saying I wasn't live. I'm quite live and livid.
Yes, and livid. 646.
As long as I'm not limpid.
I don't want to go there. 646-721-9887. Again.
Well, that's our number.
That is our number.
646-721-9887.
That's right. Call us or don't. You can also, by the way, I'd like to invite people to go to our Facebook page and please like us there. Even if you hate us, just like us anyways. We like the numbers. Again, you can follow us. We're all over the place. We have our own website, krbnradio.com. You can also listen to podcasts on iTunes. And, of course, finally, you can contact us by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. So there's no excuse. In fact, the chat room is even open right now, where you can do what? You can chat.
And by the way, it doesn't cost anything to join if you want to. You know, they make you join to chat on the chat room, I guess.
Right.
And it's no big thing because it's free.
It is free. Unfortunately, you can go to it as a guest, but you can't interact with anybody in the chat room as a guest, but you can see what's going on. Which for me, a lot of times when I do that, if I go in as a guest, I'm going, yeah, I want to comment. So then I have to go log in. But the login is free, you know, to create an account. And
so if we're talking about something that you're interested in contributing to, go ahead and log in. You know, it doesn't. I don't even think it takes much. You don't even have to put much information down. Everybody's being very careful about how much information you have to give nowadays, and so they're fairly careful about how much they're asking you to give.
Yeah, especially like YouTube, it keeps bugging me. I want to use your real name. Well, that's good. I don't want you to use my real name. And then 15 minutes later, it's asking me the same question again. And then when you tell it again, I don't want to use my real name. Why not? Oh, I don't know. How about privacy?
So I guess I don't know. I'm not on YouTube. I don't have that possible problem. And nobody knows my real name.
That's right. I don't even know your real name. I've known you for years.
Right. And you won't.
Isn't that right, Margaret?
Really? Why not?
646-721-9887. We got.
You were going to play something, weren't you?
I was actually saving that.
Oh, I thought you were.
I was going to do. Okay, see, being the fact that I control the board. I was going to.
And also, by the way, we are not in the same room, or even in the same building, or even in the same town. So I can't take a look and see what you're withholding.
That's right. I can stick my nose at you and you don't even know it. But thanks for giving away the illusion. Now, we are. I'm broadcasting in the main studios in Eugene, Oregon, and Cliff is at the remote studio in Cottage Grove, Oregon. So for those of you that now don't know or don't care or whatever. We're going to talk a little bit about Obamacare and the epic fail that's been going. Cliff has a news story. Halloween related that we're going to get to, and then we have what will come up next is a what the heck segment, and also after right in the beginning, we also have a little montage about some of the fun stuff that Obama has promised us. But first, as soon as I wake my mouse up and it stops going all over the place and flailing, and I can go ahead and push the right button. And it comes out like this. Nothing.
Yeah, that's impressive.
You have got
very
to
impressive.
Kidding. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Yeah, but you know, the little circle twirly thing looked kind of cool while I was waiting for that to happen. But it's pretty bad too that I just became a proud owner of a tablet, which is almost twice as fast as my computers. But anyways, that's neither here nor there.
She's so easily entertained, folks.
I am too. I don't get out much.
Well, I think you get out too much.
Anyways, as we've been doing for the last couple of weeks, is pointing out a few items of interest when it comes down to the no-tolerance policy in schools and some of the epic fails. That's going to be my key phrase for today, epic fail.
Epic fails.
Yes.
Okay.
Or maybe I'll epic fail on my key things and just be anyway. Moving right along. Anyway, this time the award goes out to the Harmony Community School. And see if I can figure out where that's located.
Harmony Community School. Harmony.
Harmony.
That's
Harmony.
It's a public school?
It's a public school. Harmony. Where all the kids there are in...
Harmonious.
Harmonious. Yes. And we can all just get along and life is... Anyways, Anyways, this time, a kid named Jordan Barrett, who walked into the school, he's a third grader, and got in trouble because, like some kids used to do, you know, by playing cops and robbers or cowboys and American natives.
Okay. American natives.
took his fingers out of his pocket, cocked his thumb and index finger into a right angle, and went bang. And for that, Babyface Bennett got a day suspension. I'm quoting from the article here. This is also reported, by the way, by WKMG TV. He didn't threaten any violence, utter any words that were inappropriate. He just made a sound and pointed his fingers. And that got him a one-day suspension. And according to the article, too, as they, of course, I'm making fun of it as it should be, they said, still, word has it, SWAT teams will raid the school to disarm students carrying concealed fingered weapons. So,
so you can't put your fingers in your pockets, your hands in your pockets, because that's a concealed weapon.
That's right.
Yeah.
Some type of a, you know, the total no tolerance policy, you know, just don't.
So the only form you can make with your fingers is the V sign. What is it that they use on Star Trek?
Yeah, you can make the live long and prosper sign.
Yeah.
They might be offensive because you might be assaulting Vulcans. And, of course,
And you might get the wrong finger up in the right ear.
Yeah, well, actually, I don't see that many stories about somebody pointing the wrong finger in gay suspension. Mostly it's just, don't make
the finger. They don't care about that anymore, huh? They care about if you make it look like a gun. Oh, this is, it's just so far into the future, and it's so ridiculous that I cannot believe it. I can't believe that people would even think about that. I mean, pointing a finger at someone and yelling bang or saying bang or whatever noise you want to make that makes it sound like it could be a.
Well, look at the people that got suspended for mimicking TiVo.
God. It's ridiculous, just absolutely ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. We have gone so far overboard that it's just not even funny. It's just so ridiculous.
Exactly. Well, the same article lists a couple other examples. One of them says last month a 12-year-old Rhode Island student served a 3-day suspension for carrying a gun-shaped keychain charm, which he won at an amusement park. And then it also says that in May, officials...
Now, how big would a charm like that be?
Probably not very big.
I'm sure that you can really do a whole hell of a lot of damage with a 1.5-inch gun.
Yeah, so he's probably going, oh, they're always after me, Lucky Charms. But,
yeah.
But anyway.
I mean, can you imagine you have a 1.5-inch gun that's going to shoot a quarter of an inch bullet and maybe 3 feet?
Well, and it's not even a real gun. It's just a key, a keychain or a charm that he won in an amusement park that was shaped as a gun. Whoopee ding dong, you know?
Yeah.
And
it's ridiculous.
Another one here is in May, officials rescinded detention and bus suspension for a 6-year-old Massachusetts boy caught with a toy Lego gun about the size of a quarter.
A Lego gun.
Yeah.
Size of a quarter. A Lego gun.
Yeah, a Lego gun. Let go of my Lego.
Yeah, I know. But I didn't. I never thought of them as having guns.
Well, I mean...
I thought you built things out of Legos.
Yes. And then, of course, they also mentioned the one where the Maryland student got the 2-day suspension for gnawing a Pop-Tart into what school officials said resembled a gun. Yeah.
This is so ridiculous. Just so ridiculous.
Well, Pop-Tarts themselves are, can be dangerous in themselves. You know, watch out, eat pastry!
Just the name of it, Pop-Tart.
Pop-Tart. That's probably what it was. You probably hit the nail right on the head, right there.
Oh, well, that would do it, too. You can't hit the nail on the head because that would be bad.
That's violent to nails.
Yeah.
You know?
Really. I don't like to mention technical things, but bring your microphone levels down a little bit.
Okay. Or maybe I should stop screaming into the microphone.
Well, that's a thought, too. Either way, it would do the job.
Either way. But no, just think how violent hitting a nail is. I mean, you're taking this blunt instrument, and you're raising your arm up and violently swinging it at this defensive little piece of metal.
Well, you know, I watch these programs on television about tearing down houses and rebuilding houses and things like that, and people love to be violent. They just love to tear down the house and to do the destructive possibilities of it. Nobody wants to be bothered with the rebuilding of it, but everybody wants to be involved in tearing it down. People like things to be destructive. People like not things to be destructive, but they like to be destructive.
Yeah, especially things, especially technology.
Well, that's true too. That's true too. But I tell you, it's you know, I myself, I'm not a destructive person. I'm not at all.
No, you just pull things up.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, anyhow, it's Halloween and trick or treat.
Trick or treat. And you would like to share with the audience?
Well, we got this lady in North Dakota, Fargo, North Dakota. And I swear to God, this lady is up to be murdered, literally. She's decided that she's going to give trick or treat. The trick-or-treaters that come to her house, a little different response. If they come to her house for trick-or-treating, instead of putting a candy in their trick-or-treating bag or whatever they use, she's going to put in a message, a letter that says if they're just a little bit overweight, moderately obese, she's got a big thing. She's going to put a letter in there that says it's just – look, send it. Well, it's to the parents, not to the kids, really. It's to the parents that they should be careful what they feed their kids. I mean, not to feed their kids as much. Maybe that the kids shouldn't be allowed to eat things with sugar or things like that because they're obese. To me, it's just absurd. And she obviously knows this because she's afraid to give her name, by the way, and she's afraid to tell you who she is. But and I think she should be very afraid because somebody's going to find out. I mean, if she's telling the kids that they can't go trick or treating and can't get candy unless they're skinny, I mean, it's not up to her to decide what's obese and what's not obese to begin with. And it's just that she's really. Everybody seems to think they have the answer, the absolute answer. And she's got the answer to obesity, and that's you can't go trick-or-treating. Now, if kids went trick-or-treating and ate all the trick-or-treat candy that they could gather up just on trick-or-treat, on Halloween, and that was all, they wouldn't gain weight. They wouldn't be fat, wouldn't be even overweight, probably be skinny and lose weight. But it's just so ridiculous that everybody seems to think they have the answer. Everybody seems to think that whatever their answer is, that's the way you should live. That's the way you should bring up your kids. That's ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous.
And also what's kind of interesting, too, is the fact that, well, number one, how did this make the news? And, well, basically, number one, how did this make the news? But the letter, by the way, which I found, because I'm so good, it says... Happy Halloween and happy holidays, neighbor. You are probably wondering why your child has this note. Have you ever heard the saying, it takes a village to raise a child? You can insert the word idiot in there if you'd like to. I am disappointed in the village of Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo. Your child is, in my opinion, moderately obese and should not be consuming sugar and treats to the extent of some children this Halloween season. My hope is that you will step up as a parent and ration candy this Halloween and not allow your child to continue these unhealthy eating habits.
I think we should ration her.
I think that the term that the part about the idiot thing kind of...
Well, it's just ridiculous. It's just so insane that she again. My bit is so many people seem to think they have the answer. Their way of bringing up your kids is right, and everybody else's way is wrong. I know kids that don't eat a lot, that don't eat very much at all. That when they're young and they're kids, are chubby. That's just all there is to it. And in fact. One of them that lived with me at one time, and he was chubby all the way up until he was about 14 years old. And then he started growing up instead of out. Yeah. And he didn't change his eating habits at all, not a bit. So so it just was how he was built and how he decided, or his body decided to work. And the thing I did to make a difference, it wasn't that. It was just his body that decided it was going to be different. And he hasn't gotten heavy yet at all. So,
and to answer my question about why this made the news is that apparently it goes along with an article that some California and Massachusetts schools have been accused of sending fat letters home with students. It says that, this is from CBS News, by the way, these notes include scores of a child's mass index, BMI, height-to-weight ratio that is used by medical professionals to designate if a person is underweight, normal weight, overweight, or obese. The letters directly address if the child is overweight and obese and its recommendations on how to do it. However, the practice has been discontinued in Massachusetts because of the fears that the letters may cause self-esteem and bullying problems.
Well, not only that, like I said, it has to do with their body, how their body works. I mean, they could be overweight at 12, and then by 14, then it's all gone. And it's nothing they do that's different. I mean, your body isn't a machine. It doesn't act like a machine. And if you put in X amount of food, it gets so big. If you put in X plus 4, it puts big plus 4. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Your body is a little different thing than that. It's a more sophisticated thing than that. And we don't understand how it works. I don't give a damn what anybody says. We don't know how it works. We can think we do, and we have all these doctors and everybody who think they have the absolute answer. But even a doctor, if a doctor is worth her or his weight and salt, they will not tell you absolute how to do this.
Yeah.
They will tell you that the human body is, first of all, is a very mysterious thing, but second of all, it'll do what it wants to do. And if it wants to be fat, it's going to be fat. And you can eat almost nothing, and it has nothing to do with it. You'll be fat. I have had that problem all my life. You know, I've been overweight all my life, and there's nothing I can do. You know. I did one time, I went on a diet, and I lost a huge amount of weight. But I was starving to death every minute of every day that I was on that diet. And I could not keep that diet up. There's just no possible way I could, because I was hungry all the time. And I wasn't about to live my life that way. I'd rather roll myself to work than be starving to death all the time. So that's just the way I did it. And I go so far. And I would gain so much weight, and I'm overweight, yes, but I never go obese. I mean, really big. So it's your body takes care of itself to a certain extent. Now, you can, of course, go out and eat, you know, a ton of candy bars every night, and you will gain some weight probably. More than likely, you'll get sick, and that's what will take care of it.
Well, and to kind of emphasize the point that, you know, we're not all cookie cutters, it's just, well, like peanut allergies, you know, where one or two peanuts, like, you know, can send somebody to the hospital or kill them. I can just see the headlines now. Person accused of giving M&M to child at Halloween, killing child, all M&M should be banned from Halloween.
Well, you know, they've thought about that already.
Yeah.
Peanut M&Ms. Yep.
Exactly.
But the thing is, you don't have to do that. Everybody knows what a peanut M&M is. And if you have a peanut disturbance, then you don't have to eat them. But the thing is, you can't change everything. You can't take everything that's possibly going to be bad for you off the market. And that's what we're doing nowadays, by the way. Every little thing that could possibly hurt you, we're going to take it away from you. There's going to be nothing left.
Oh.
And we're going to be eating, you know, little strips of grass.
No, it'd all be capsules in our little bubble wrap society.
Well, the thing is, you can't use capsules, can't eat capsules, because you don't know what's in them.
Oh, it'll all be regulated and sized and totally proportioned and rationed so that, you know, at a certain time during the day, especially in school, that, you know, as the food police are going, well, you know, it's time for your 12 o'clock capsule. I mean, they're getting there. I mean, they've already taken lunches that parents have taken to you know, give their kids to take to school with them, and deciding that, well, this isn't healthy enough for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. You were back on that again. And that's funny because it's just, again, just exactly what I was talking about. Everybody's deciding they know what's good for everybody else instead of finding out
that's
and letting them worry about it. You know, and they're doing that with adults, too. They're not doing it just with the kids, but they're doing it mostly with the kids.
That's right, because our government overloads. Those guys up there in D.C. that know best are telling us how to do things. And
I think they know best.
I think they know best, which is going to lead us here in a few minutes into Obamacare. Okay.
Anyway, this whole thing is this came up on the news, and I saw this, and I just could not believe it that we could just even. I don't think it should even be. Well, I was going to say it shouldn't even be put in the news, but it could be. It doesn't. People have got to have a mind of their own. And we're being weaned away from having a mind of our own. We're not being weaned away from thinking about things ourselves. We're being told that we should believe what everybody else believes, and that's not true, not in my opinion. Anyway,
my chat room just came up and says, "Quit talking so fast." I'm sorry. Only two words, and I'm talking too fast. But anyway, 646-721-9887 if you would like to, if you have anything on your mind or what we're talking about. Coming up, Obamacare is in the news, and of course, oh, the poor little president. He, the big mouth in the White House is getting himself into a lot of trouble, and because people are starting to wake up a little bit, and especially the news services, and this is what's really amazing, that the news services now are starting to come out with their investigative articles instead of pandering to the administration. And one of the things I wanted to kind of share to kind of kick this off a little bit is a little montage that put together here that talking about what Obama has promised us and what isn't.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
If you have insurance that you like, then you will be able to keep that insurance. If you've got a doctor.
And a computer that freezes up on you.
Now, what he said, if you have a duck?
You will be able to keep your duck. Nobody is trying to change what works. We're going to be able to eliminate employer coverage immediately. There's going to be potentially some transition process. I can envision a decade out or 15 years out or 20 years.
If you're one of the more than 250 million Americans who already have health insurance, you will keep your health insurance. This law will only make it more secure and more affordable.
It is important for us to make sure this thing is deficit neutral, without tricks. I said I wouldn't sign a bill that didn't meet that criteria.
And by this August, nearly 13 million of you will receive a rebate from your insurance company because it spent too much on things like administrative costs and CEO bonuses and not enough on your health care.
Yes, isn't that nice of him to think about us?
Well, not a word of that was true. Not a word of it was true. Every bit of it was a lie. And that's my problem with that Obama. That's my problem with that president. He does lie constantly and consistently. He's not consistent about his lies, just consistently doing it. And that was all a lie, every one of it. I mean, people are already losing their insurance. They're already being charged more for their insurance. Everybody and their brother is upset about it. And the only reason there isn't a whole lot more being made about losing your insurance and mad about the insurance that you'll be able to get is the fact that you can't get on the website to get new insurance. So it's just so absurd. They've got a $630 million website that's worth about 79 cents.
Yeah.
It's just there's no reason for it to cost that money. Let's begin with, and that's exactly how much they paid for having that website made, was $630 million. And what can you do for $630 million? You could make 630 websites at $1 million a piece. And then in reality, you can make 630,000 websites, probably.
Well, that, and how much could that be applied to the healthcare?
None of it could, because how would you decide who and what should get it all? You know, if that amount of money is supplied to your health care, that breaks down to like 12 cents a piece. But so that's kind of beyond the scope of doing it. But it just is ridiculous. The thing is, they spent $630 million and they aren't done.
Yes, and they want more money.
Well, of course, they've got to have more money. I just can't believe how much the government can throw money away. But again, we've got a stupid president, and I'm going to say it over and over again. The man has no smarts. He doesn't do anything on his own. It's all being told to him. It's all being given to him. It's all being done for him. He's the spokesman for whoever this is that's trying to do this. And I don't even know who it is. There's a group of people, obviously, that are pulling the strings on President Obama. That's the only thing it can possibly be, because he can't even – I don't think he could even come up with these ideas on his own.
Well, speaking of, since you just happened to bring that up, there's an article on Fox News. The headlines read, George Will, Obama continues to be surprised by his own administration. And
well, of course he's surprised by his own administration. He doesn't know who they are.
Yeah. Well, it's like, for example, they're saying that it seems – I'm going to quote here. It seems to think that his job as chief executive is not to be the executive, but to be angry at his own administration when it doesn't perform well, according to the syndicated columnist. Fast and Furious, IRS, Benghazi, NSA investigation of our Mr. Rosin are just a few things that seem to surprise him. The president has no idea, and I think it's part of a pattern that reveals a president who is distant and not involved in the details. And that's also backed up by the fact that look how many of the daily briefings that he misses that he's supposed to do.
Well, you want to say he's not involved in the details. He's not involved, period. He just isn't there. All he wants to do is go on television because he likes that. That's fun. That's the part of being, what do you call it, a rock star. And that's his thing. That's what he likes to do. But that's all he wants to do. He doesn't want to have to think about things. He doesn't even want to have to think about the things that he's talking about when he's on television. He wants those written down for him. And I've seen him – he actually can speak in a couple of cases without any kind of thing written in front of him. But he only reiterates and talks about what he's talked about before. He doesn't have any original ideas. He doesn't have any original thought. There's nothing original about the man. He doesn't think, and that's the only way he can live. We really have. We've got to get rid of this man.
Well, there's enough talk about. Of course, here again, I'm going to sound like a broken record. I mean, there's enough talk about impeachment. People are starting to. Americans are starting to get together and say we want to impeach the guy.
There are websites about that, by the way. Now,
and yes, and there's even a few. Senators that are trying to introduce bills to impeach him, but unfortunately, in our system, it's not designed to really work. Unless a guy does something directly as treasonous, the process for impeachment, if you start it now, by the time you get it done, his term will be over anyways.
Well, and I'll tell you what I think is going on. If you'll notice, nothing is happening in our government. The government is being held up. We've got the Democrats fighting against the Republicans and against most things. And basically nothing of any consequence is actually happening in our government. And I think that's why. That's why we've got this big argument going on. That's why we've got the Democrats constantly, everything that the Republicans have to say and vice versa, they say no. And I think that's what's happening. We've got the two different branches of our government are sitting there fighting with each other in order to isolate the third branch. That's the president. We've got to keep him out of the picture as much as possible before he destroys things. And he is doing his level best, or whoever. And again, I don't believe he's doing it. I honestly don't believe he's doing it. I don't think he has enough smarts to do it. I think somebody is in there pulling the strings. Now, if if somebody on the Democratic side or the Republican side knows who that is, then we need to do something about them. They're the ones that need to go. But at this particular point, there was a poll taken just recently, and I saw the thing. When they asked 31% of the people, of the public, American public, says that everybody, all the senators and all of the House of Representatives need to be replaced. Every one of them.
Right.
Not just a few. They want everybody replaced.
Well, yeah. I mean, I forget what the numbers are, but our Congress has very low numbers. But the sad thing about it is that, I mean, even as far as when I was growing up a long time ago, we were joking about how bad our government is. And you know, it's a joke, but we don't do anything about it. We keep putting the same people back in, and we don't have the controls. In fact, you know, the one point that I brought up was about a year ago is about what happens if we actually have an out-of-control president. You know, we're hoping that our checks and balance systems will kick in, you know, known as the Constitution. But when you have a president that actually comes out and says that the Constitution gets in his way, and then the other houses and the Supreme Court side with him, whether it's constitutional or not, what do you do?
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't think they are siding with him. I think they're just quietly and carefully trying to do things to keep him out of the picture. And it's not too hard to do. But now he's realizing it, I think, and a little bit, as much as realization can set on that face. Anyway.
Well, one thing I wanted to point out, now, again, this is – I brought this up on last week's program, a little bit of conspiracy, but I thought a little bit more about it. I keep asking the question regarding Obamacare is why he wouldn't give at all on the shutdown, you know, why he held such a hard line. And that really makes me look closer. Now, I mentioned last week about cookies, but I got to thinking about it a little bit further, is that in addition to putting cookies in your computer, which happens on every website you go to, even when you come to KRBN Radio, or Blog Talk Radio, is that in addition to cookies in your computer, you're also giving to the government all types of information to sign up for these exchanges. And, I mean, just that alone kind of we're getting close to, I mean, you might want to say Illuminati or something like that, but closer to the more one-world government or the control or whatever. And
I mean, well, I hate to be a problem in your problem, but
yeah, throw a problem in my problem.
Yeah, anybody who decides that the internet is the way of life, we've got a real problem, because the internet is not the way of life. Everybody seems to think that what we do on the internet should be private. Everybody seems to think that what we do on the internet should be just for us and the person that we're sending it to or whatever. That's not going to be the case. Anything you put on the internet is open to everybody, absolutely everybody. And everybody can have an opinion about it. Everybody can share an opinion about it. And it's nothing you can do about it. And for you to get upset about them doing that is ridiculous. So if we, again, we've got people in the government they're talking about, mining things, you know,
right.
NSA is talking about databases that they have. Of course they've got the databases. They've had those all along. This is not something that's new. I know this as a matter of fact, because clear back as far as 1960s, I was aware of this. And so consequently, and unfortunately, I was a part of it. But the thing is, it's not a problem. Anything that you put out on the internet is, if you say it in a letter, even that can be followed and caught and they can steam open a letter. It's a little harder, but it can be done. But right. Anything that's on the internet, you don't have to steam it open. Just it's there for you to take anytime you want, and information anytime you want. And these websites that the government is using and that they're upset about people using, they know better than that. They know that they're open, and they're worldwide. It's not just America that's got this major problem. Everybody has this problem, and it's just a part of life. And until we decide that we know that that the Internet is not the answer, then we're going to have that problem. And everybody seems to think the Internet is a problem and the Internet is also the answer. Good luck.
Well, it's not just, okay, to kind of go along with that, like kind of like the thing about, you know, what's in Vegas stays in Vegas, or what's on the Internet stays on the Internet. And even if you try to get rid of it, like NBC, for example, on their report recently on the Affordable Care Act, their website, shortly after they did the report, went down. You know, you got the 404 error, and they got it back up again. But here's the thing is that thanks to, like, Google Cache, you can retrieve a lot of that stuff, or somebody would already have copied it, and basically it could be all over the world in a very short period of time. But and
a matter of seconds.
In a matter of seconds, exactly. And when negative stuff comes out, like this, like here's a little segment of it, like four sources deeply involved in the Obama or Affordable Care Act tells NBC News that 50 to 75% of 14 million consumers who buy their insurance individually can expect to receive a cancellation or equivalent over the next year because their existing policies don't meet the standards mandated by the new health care law. Remember, I've been saying qualifying health care, you know, you're going to get fined, and that's what they're saying here.
That's it. And if you, and the thing is, so many people, unfortunately, it's people don't bother to read. People don't bother to check and see. They listen to some slick salesman, and the salesman tells them, oh, yes, this is what you need. This is what you need, and it's going to cost you this much. And so they say, okay, here's a check. You do it. But they don't bother to read it and find out what they've got. And like you say, I don't know percentage-wise, but a good percent of people have nothing.
Well, you might
have something.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, they have nothing. They have something on a piece of paper that says you're covered and you're in good shape. Right. And as long as you're not getting sick or as long as nothing happens, you're all right. But when something happens, you're not all right, and you find that out, unfortunately, too late.
Well, I wish I had it in front of me, but there was a gal that worked for, I guess, for some senator or something like that, and they're both very they backed Obamacare, and the senator didn't get reelected because of it, and, of course, she lost her job because she was on the staff, and was still, I'm going by my feeble memory, was still in favor of Obamacare because, and here's the key word here, because she wanted everybody to have insurance. And then she found out that her insurance company doubled the amount of what it was costing her for the same coverage and raised her deductible. Well, what's interesting is that the people that I've ran into, either at work or you know, in my own little circles that are in favor of the Obamacare, the only thing they say is that, well, we wanted to let everybody have insurance. Yeah, but this is what it's going to cost. No, you're wrong, but this will give everybody insurance. And that's all they hear.
Right. They don't bother to think about how much is it going to cost.
Well, what it's
going to cost. In other words, nobody can. You can't give everybody insurance for 75 cents.
No, you can't.
It isn't going to happen.
No. But the point is that, I mean, yes, I agree. So wholeheartedly, we are a wealthy enough nation still that we can provide a really, truly affordable or subsidized or whatever you want to call it, healthcare without bankrupting the individual, you know, costing us. I mean, like I said, some of us are just struggling month to month, and to shell out $300 or $400 for health insurance or more is a lot of money. But then the argument is, well, so what happens if you need to go to the hospital? You know, we're going to subsidize you. Well, again, if I only have $10 an hour and I'm making $23,000 a year, and I had the bare minimum, you know, don't even have a cell phone, and I'm barely putting a roof over my head, and I'm, you know, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do anything else, and I'm doing just the basics. Where am I going to get an extra $100 a month?
Well, that's the thing. I was watching television, and this lady on television was talking about having insurance and having herself as covered, and how upset she was going to be because when she got the health care thing from Obamacare, when they changed over to that, it was going to cost her a lot more. Well, she was paying $50 a month.
Right.
But she said right herself, they asked the person asking her the questions asked her what coverage she has, And she says, well, I've just got enough coverage. I'm okay. She says, it covers me when I need my prescriptions and when I need to, when I get a cold or something like that. And so they asked, you know, what happens if you have to go to the hospital? Oh, well, that doesn't cover that.
Right.
Well, what is health care? That's health care. It's covering if you have to go to the hospital. The thing is, so many people, you'd be better off putting $50 a month in the bank and just keeping it yourself instead of using the health care that a lot of people are offering. People, there are so many, many, many people. I mean, I bet we don't even know how many people, and it would be devastating to find out how many people have the same kind of insurance. Insurance that means virtually nothing. It's covering your day-to-day, maybe your medicine that you're getting every day, and that's it.
Well, I had, was it 2 years ago, I worked a job that the deductible was $2,500 before it paid anything. So, so in a sense, I mean, I forget how much per month I was paying. I think it's a couple hundred dollars a month. But in a sense, I had no insurance. I mean, you consider it more catastrophic insurance, you know, because I still had to pay full price for medications. One doctor's visit, which was a GP, and I belt fell on the floor when I got the bill, was $250 for a 45-minute visit. It's like, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know.
Think of what it would have been if you'd been in the hospital.
Yeah, but.
You know, that's where you're, that catastrophic thing you're talking about, that's where it would work, because 2 days stay in the hospital and you'd be up to that point that you were using the insurance.
Well, and that's another point too. I mean, like here in the Lane County area, the major hospitals here, to make money, Lane County put a tax on the hospitals. You're in the state. They added another, I forget what percentage, tax on top of everything. Obamacare administration is adding a medical device tax on everything. So they're making that more expensive for everybody, which is, of course, they just pass the expense on to the consumer. But
going to the hospital is just impossible nowadays.
But you in a way make my point when you're talking about that $50. Again, I've been near homeless. I've been very fortunate that I've still had a place to live, but I know what it's like to not be able to even buy food. And I've worked two jobs just to try and keep a roof over my head. And now you're throwing in, like I said, even an extra $50, it can be catastrophic depending on how things are going. Now, here's the thing, that because the Supreme Court has changed it from a fine for not having insurance to a tax, that if you are one of those type of people that say either you don't get a refund or you owe a tax, even though they're saying that, well, if you owe a tax, you won't be penalized, but you will still owe the money. It'll just be tacked on next year. Well, sooner or later, that amount is going to build up so much that the IRS is going to try and come after you and start garnishing your wages and doing whatever. Now fast forward a couple of years, let's take that millions of people, this is happening, especially if you wind up in that 3 months gray area where, like, okay, look how many unemployed there are. Let's say you have a job until July, and then you lose your job. You're having trouble finding another job. Well, you've gone beyond the 3 months grace period that they give you, and so now you owe the penalty, even though, you know, hopefully you got unemployment, and now you got another couple hundred dollars to, in 2016, $2,000 maybe that you have to come up with to pay the penalty for not having insurance because you had to cancel everything just to survive.
The thing is, you're not accomplishing anything. When you're paying the penalty, when you're paying the fine, when you're not paying the actual insurance, you have not got insurance.
Exactly.
So you're paying the penalties, you're paying all this money for nothing.
Right.
So you're better off to try to come up with the least amount you can and pay for it every month and let something else go, not that. Because you need some kind of insurance, some sort of insurance. And that's why I was saying you're better off if you just want to put $50 a month or $100 a month in the bank leave it there.
That's my point. If you have it.
They're paying you for insurance right now.
Well, right now I am. But like I said, and I had the opportunity to sit down with a lady. She's running for U.S. Senate in Oregon. And she was kind of on the fence about Obamacare. So we sat down, we did some math, and we did a comparison of somebody making $10 to $12 an hour. And figure out, okay, yes, your gross says, and I have to look up, but your gross says you may be making, you know, $30,000 a year. But what you're actually taking home out of that, maybe $20,000 a year or $22,000 a year, roughly, and then divide that by 12, and then divide, then take, let's say on a two-household income, you know, you take, say, $500-$600 a month just for your rent. Use my utilities as an example, $200 a month. You have a phone. Chances are now with cell phones, even the cheapest plan, $20 to $30, $40 a month, roughly like that. Car insurance, which you can probably get away from and just use a bus if you can. And then food. So just a bare minimum. And when she did the math, we were already in negative numbers on what the income was.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to throw in, an extra $100 on top of that for health care. You know, this is the whole point. It's easy to say, well, if you take $50 and put it aside, but if you're already running negative numbers and you're already working 10 to 12 hours a day just to try and make the living at that point, where's that extra $50 to $100 supposed to come from?
I'm not going to try to get into that because I think you find out that your figures were all wrong.
How do you figure that my figures?
Well, because you're doing this in your living, aren't you?
I'm doing this in my living right now, but I'm making a little bit more than minimum wage at the moment.
Well,
but I'm taking the example I'm giving is somebody.
Well, everybody knows you can't live on a minimum wage. That's just not possible.
That's why it takes two people in a household, pretty much to even just pay the bills anymore because things are so expensive.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. $200 a month for utilities. You know, that's a heck of a lot of money to go out, just for electricity and water.
Yeah, I know.
And I know people that have a higher bill. Well, then look.
I know all that. I know I've done the figures before myself. But
right. The
thing is, if you're doing it now, you can do it. I mean, there's nobody's living on that amount of money. I mean, nobody's living on minimum wage and doing it the proper way and doing it with all the things you're talking about. If you're living on minimum wage, if you're a person living on a minimum wage, then you're living with someone else. You're living in a less than adequate housing. Somewhere the money is coming from.
If you're lucky enough to be able to have somebody that can move in and pay the rent.
No.
Too.
You're either living with someone or you're lucky enough to have that, or else you're homeless. And that's the only way about it. There are people that are homeless. And, of course, see, that gets to another thing, too. I get real upset about the homeless. But they're making so many demands that it's not even funny. But the thing is, if you're going to be able to live, you're going to live on what you've got. And if you're living on what you've got, you're one way or another, you're either not paying something or you are paying something or you're living with someone. Somehow or another, it's working out.
Not necessarily, okay. Well, let's look at the figures real quick here. I just brought up a wage calculator. And let's take $10 an hour. Okay, so gross income on $10 an hour on a 40-hour-a-week job is $20,000. Well, I'd say $21,000. It's $20,800. Okay, so basically you're taking home yearly about $18,000 out of that, okay, which brings your monthly income down to about $1,500 a month. And so, again, take $200 off that, you know, for utilities down to $1,300. Rent, if you took $500, $600 off that, you're again.
But that's what I'm saying. If you're making that much money, if that's all the money you're making, you're not paying $200 a month for utilities. You're not paying $500 a month for rent. You can't. And so somehow or another, you're making do with less.
Well, yeah, you're cutting everything you can.
Well, you're cutting it enough that you're either making do with it or you're homeless, one or the other.
Well, to be honest with you, a couple of years ago, I came close to losing my home. I mean, I'm fortunate. I own my own home. Well, I don't own it. I'm paying mortgage.
But that's, the thing is, you didn't lose it. And if you had lost your home in this particular case, you'd have went out and rent something. And maybe it was very, it would have been very poor. I mean, you can go out and rent a place to a building to live in that's just minimal for $300 or $400 a month. And that ain't much. And it certainly isn't much. But you can do it.
Right.
And it's as bad as it is and as upset as you'd be, it can be done. So you're not figuring this legitimately, I mean, as far as I'm concerned. You can sit down and figure all these numbers if you want. And you can do that. It's a fine thing to sit down and figure that money out and figure out how much money you need to make to live the way you want to live. But that's the only thing you can do with it.
Okay, I'm going to argue. I'm going to agree and disagree. Yes, you make a good point that you could probably find someplace a little cheaper, hopefully, and hopefully you've got some sort of income coming in, or even just using my example of the $1,500 a month coming in, and you cut your expenses down. You got your food budget for the day, let's say $10 a day, which if you really, really work can be doable, and that's $300 a month. So take that off that as well. So, again, you're barely scraping by. Now, the law, the new law says that unless you are under the poverty level and can get a subsidy, you are going to owe a penalty if you do not have qualifying health care. And if you happen to fall into that area, and this happens a lot with government stuff where they look at your gross income, and even though your gross income may be pretty good because you lost your job about 4 months ago, you're going to owe that penalty. And again, where is that money going to come from? Especially if you're expecting to get a tax refund, now your tax refund is gone because you got to pay that penalty.
Well, I hate to say this, but I live on less than $1,500 a month. I live on $1,000 a month, and I'm living that way and have for quite some time, and I'm paying everything. Now, granted, because I don't have that much money, I do get my health care free.
Okay.
Because there's no other way to do it. It's either that or we don't get any health care. And the government basically takes care of you if you go about it right. So it may not take care of me the way I'd like to be taken care of, but I do know it's possible to live on that.
Okay, but again, you're getting it. Of course, you're also, you know, what, over 62 as well, aren't you? So you're getting the Medicaid or Medicare or something like that.
That's what I say. The health care is given to me. I don't have to pay for that. But I do pay for everything else.
Of course, it does go back to, and I think that was in the montage that I played. If not, it was on the my list of editing, where Obama is saying that he does envision a single-payer system. And that's kind of what we're working towards. You know, but do we want everybody to be totally dependent on the government or as we're going here? But either way,
I don't know what the single payer. I don't know what that means, but it's going to end up being like it is in England. I mean, it's you don't even worry about your health care or anything like that. It's all supplied for you. Now, when you go into to utilize that health care or go to the doctor to see him about something, it's not going to be a real satisfying experience for you because you're not going to get exactly what you want. But the only way you can get exactly what you want is to pay for it.
Okay, but how is England paying for their health care?
The taxes. That's what it is.
Okay,
it's
how are they collecting their taxes?
I don't know how they collect their taxes, just like we do.
I mean, are they being billed separately? Is it part of the goods and services?
No, it's a part of your taxes, just part of your income tax. In other words, you're paying X amount of money for income tax, and it covers all of that.
So it's based on your income. It's not just based on the fact that you're going to owe or you have to have this type of qualifying insurance per se or you're going to pay.
Well, see, it's not insurance. It's not like we're talking about insurance. The whole idea of what we've got in for insurance is going to go away. We're not going to have insurance companies that are doing all this thing. It's all the government that's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, consequently, you have no choice. You go in, you get sick, you go in and to the doctor and see the doctor, and the doctor does what he has to do to fix you, and that's it. And you're not given any choice. And so if you want a choice, it's going to and you're going to have to pay for it. just like we do here. In other words, and I don't know if you can buy extra in coverage in England or not. I don't know that much about it, but I know that it's, and even if you don't have any money, even if you're broke, even if you're not employed for some reason or other, or let's say you're 16 years old and you're just now getting out on your own and you don't have a job, it's all taken care of for you. But it's not taken care of forever.
No.
I mean, it is if you have to, and because there are some people, you know, let's face it, some people are not as bright as other people. Some people have to have someone to take care of them, and the government does that too.
The government will take care of everything. By the way, according to Wikipedia, the England's health care is taken care of by the general taxation system. And
right. It's just like your income tax. It's just all one big lump. I mean, it's not a separate piece. And see, we're unfortunately right in the middle of that. We're in the part where everybody's very upset because the president wants us to be like them, and the people, some of them don't want to be like that. So we're right in the middle of it, and it's going to hurt everybody for a while. Now, who knows which direction we're going to end up going?
Well, I think what it's going to be is just as the examples with local taxation here, like in Multnomah County, they had what was called the I-Tax to help fund the county. And in Portland, Oregon, they came up with what's called the Arts Tax, where they charge everybody that was over 18 $35 a head for the privilege of living in the city. All both sound like really great ideas on the surface until the tax bill came due. And then at that point, it was like, what the hell is this? And so, the I-Tax, they abolished that after the third year that it was implemented because people weren't paying it. And so they just finally considered it a new point. Probably the same thing is going to happen with the Arts Tax. And I can see that happening, especially in 2016 when Obamacare goes into full effect and people are actually start seeing it hit their pockets, and they're going to go, wait a minute, what's this?
Well, that's the problem we have in this country, because we want to separate everything down, and we want to know what tax is going to do this, what we're paying for here, what we're paying for there. It's going to have to go away. It's all going to have to be folded into one lump sum, so that you're just paying X amount every month or year or whatever they want to do, and you're not even going to see it. You're not even going to know about it. It's just going to be just like income taxes today. But it's going to take care of more than what we do. And the thing is, then what happens is when you don't have a job, when you're out of a job and you're unemployed or something of that sort, it's still going to be taken care of. But you're going to get your care and you're going to be taken care of. And then when you do get work again, it's going to be taken out then. So it's all going to average out, but you're not going to see it in one place or another, or you're not going to notice it in one place or another.
Well, as I said on the onset, is that I agree that we can have a really good health care system, a subsidized health care system, by taking the examples of around the world, because most of the other countries do have some sort of health care, and looking at what works and ignoring or don't use what doesn't work, because we don't have to reinvent the wheel. But what people have to do is, I guess what they're calling is low-informed or low-information voters or whatever, is to just not by going by the sound bites, but actually paying more attention. It's like when Obamacare was first announced that they were going to do this, the hospitals were overwhelmed with people showing up for their free health care. Not once anywhere did they use the word free, but that's what people heard or thought they heard.
Well, that's because Obama doesn't know what he's talking about. That gets back into the idiot running the country. But the point is, it's all going to change, and it's all going to change fairly rapidly and radically. And what we're going to end up with, I don't know, because it's beyond my scope of knowing what's going on. But as far as I can see, sure, we're going to have health care. We've got to have health care, but it's going to be paid for some way, and we're going to live with it. The thing is, we pay less in taxes than almost anybody. And consequently, we're going to have to be ready to cough up a little bit more than we do now, I think. I don't know what. It's been a while since I looked at that, but I know when I looked at it, we did pay a lot less than anybody else.
Well, what do you mean, comparing it to other countries?
Yeah.
Well, that in a way is kind of a mute point as well, as far as comparing other countries, because other countries have their economy is different.
Well, that's what I say. But that's ours is going to have to get closer to what theirs is in order for ours to work. Our economy and the way it's put together right now is not on a firm ground. We're in a problem mostly, and consequently it's going to have to change. And it will. We're going to change it, and we'll go along with it. And as I say, we're in the position now of making the change, and we're not liking it. But it'll go around one way or another. The thing is we have that's different, I think, is we do have more of a say-so in what's going on. We aren't accepting stuff nearly as acceptable as other countries are.
Okay. In that example, I'll agree with you. But as far as having to say, just like the second week of October, where you had four groups that went to Washington, D.C. to protest, you know, and they had their little, hi, here we are, we disagree, and the people in the White House are going, oh, look at the peasants, they're revolting. And they know that as soon as Monday hits, they're all going to go home, and that's probably the last they'll hear about it, and that's why you didn't hear too much about it. Cards and letters do help, but like you pointed out, Cliff, that if all those people would follow through with cards and letters, it might make a difference. But even still, the ultimate decision to even follow through is them. Yeah,
the ultimate decision is you, because you're the one who elects them into whatever position
right.
They're in.
Well,
and that's what happens when we get pissed off enough, as we are right now,
right.
And we got people talking about changing the entire Senate and the entire House.
But will they do that? I mean, look at 2012. They didn't do that. Like in Oregon, you know, we talked the talk, but then we went ahead and voted more Democrat and put some of the same people right back in again. You know,
yep.
A lot of people fell for the sound bites because they didn't do their homework. They didn't keep track.
The thing is, they're going to keep falling for the sound bites, and the sound bites are going to keep lying to them, and then they're pretty soon going to wake up.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to say we're getting ready for the fall, but I think we are actually getting ready to do some major changes in the way our country is put together and the way our country works. And when that happens, then we're going to see. Our problem is it's going to change when we change the president. When we get rid of that president that we have in there and get somebody with some brains and that has some thought and can think, then perhaps we're going to get somebody that will do something and change things for the better or for the worse. Maybe they'll change it for the worse, and if they do, then it's going to make things happen faster. But sooner or later, we're going to change the way we do things. It's got to change because it's not working the way we're doing it.
Exactly. I want to put out there, 646-721-9887. By the way, we got 21 minutes remaining in the program. Still enough time to give us a call and share your thoughts on this or anything else that's on your mind. Question I'll put out there to the audience and chat room. In 2008, we gave a non-white person, you're racist, to an opportunity to be president of the United States. And because of what's happened, his leadership or lack of, and the fact that you can't criticize or talk negative about his policies because you're racist, the question I want to throw out there is that if somebody else of color or different race was to run for president, would you consider them, or would you hold, or do you feel that Obama has set back what I thought that we kind of moved forward as far as race relations?
I don't believe we should be considering him as either as related, even considering his race as anything, because he's a person. The only thing we need to consider about him is he's stupid. He is absolutely stupid. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's not doing it. I don't believe he's doing it. I believe he's someone else is pulling the strings. And that doesn't make any difference whether he's white or black or green or yellow or what. If somebody else is going to be pulling the strings, it's going to be the same problem. And so I don't think it makes any difference what color he is, personally. I wouldn't make any difference. I don't know of anybody that's of color that I can think of that would be considered possibly. But at this and we might consider a woman at this particular point, but I'm not even sure we'd do that. The thing is, it's going to have to be a different person that hopefully thinks. Right. And who knows if we can come up with another person. And if we don't, then it's not going to make any difference.
Well, what we can do is use what we've learned. If we have a candidate that...
No, we don't.
If we have a candidate that's running, or when we have a candidate that's running, we need to do our own research. If we have somebody that doesn't have much of a history, then we need to really seriously think about, not considering this person. Somebody's more of a mystery. I mean, I don't want to talk about, like, the birth certificate, but, again, anybody else would have said, okay, well, here's my birth certificate. Big deal. It's public record. Why fight it,
Yeah.
And not to go in the birther thing, but it's just the whole point. What do we know about Obama? What do we know about some of these other people?
The thing is, we didn't know about any of these things until after.
Exactly.
We had already voted and put him in there by the time we started finding out about these things. And so then it's too late.
Right.
The thing is, we need to perhaps find out a little bit more about people while they're running.
Right, exactly.
And
the thing is,
we won't, because people don't do that. We as people sit back and on our back and do nothing. We let somebody else do it. It's like let's say we have 100 people in the United States. Okay. We're gonna sit back and let 5 of them make all the decisions. That's what we're gonna do. 95 of us are gonna be, I want to say dumb and well we won't, but we're just gonna sit back and let somebody else make the decisions. Somebody else make the ideas. Because we're not going to have an idea. We're busy making a living for ourselves, and that's all we care about.
Well, I'll take your point one step further. I know so many people that can tell you the history of a certain team, like a football team, and go all the way back, while they're playing this person did this, and then I don't know football, so excuse me, and, are really into it, but they can't tell you the name of the vice president.
See, that's why I say we're not going to do anything about it. We're going to sit down on our butt and worry about the team of our choice. And that's not the thing that's going to save us. That's going to be what drowns us in this whole thing, is because we don't care about what's going on to our government. We don't care. Everybody, you mentioned it yourself. You made a mention of the fact that we're going to sit back and let our government do it to us. That's
right.
Not the case. We are our government. We are the government. And if we'd only sit back and think about it, we can change it. We can change it.
Okay.
And we should change it. But the thing is, we're not going to, because we're going to sit on our butts and let somebody else make the decision.
Exactly. Are we going to be... For one, we either won't think that we can do anything, or two, we're afraid to do anything, especially if the IRS is involved in it. I mean, still joke about the
money. Even the IRS. The thing is, if we get mad enough, and it's happening, the whole country is more and more getting madder and madder and madder and more upset, and we're going to finally get to the point that we get enough people upset that they're all going to do something, and then the whole thing is going to change.
Well, that's why we're starting to see the games, and I could be totally off base here, so I'm just going to I'm going to play stupid here for a moment. Don't say it. Like the Obamacare website, for example, we already have somebody that, and you said that she volunteered for this, that they're throwing under the bus, Kathleen Syllabus at HHS Services Secretary. Saying, well, yeah, it's my fault. Okay, so now we're focusing on her. We're starting to have our hearings, about why isn't this working. And, she's having to go before Congress and explain everything. Well, okay, on Fast and Furious, on the NSA, on Benghazi, did we follow through with the investigations this quickly?
Well, It's,
and who cares about Benghazi? I mean, to be honest, what's Benghazi to you and me? I mean, don't take me wrong, but what I'm saying is not that it's not important. But seriously, I guess why I say that is just like a friend I know of who on Memorial Day who says that, why should I care? You know, it's same thing. How does that directly affect me? How does Benghazi directly affect me? I don't see it. How does the NSA directly affect me? I don't personally see it right now. So, you know, the Obamacare will directly affect me. It's a big boondoggle at the moment and a political nightmare. So they needed somebody they can throw under the bus, and here's Syllabus out here going, okay, well, it's my fault.
Okay, I don't understand your question now. I mean,
my question is that because she's already testifying and about the epic fail. See, that's my favorite word today, the epic fail, about Obamacare, and they're quickly out to do the hearings and to do their investigations, but are they so quick to jump on it on Fast and Furious? And
you can't compare those. You're comparing apples and oranges. It's not a possibility because these other things didn't throw themselves under the bus, and she did.
Well, yeah, she did. She came out and taken responsibility.
So
now everybody's focusing on her, and that's what I'm saying is that who came out and did any testifying on Fast and Furious? Boehner.
They didn't. That's the point.
Boehner,
you can't compare them.
Boehner came out and tried to actually subpoena the FBI or CIA, whichever, and they basically told him to take a hike.
That's because it's not a person.
No, but somebody gave the orders.
FBI is not a person, and you can't break it down and find out who did give the order. With this, you've got a person involved, and you can do something about it. And who knows, how much is she being paid to do this?
Well, that's my point. She didn't write the program.
Well, if she was in charge of it, how much? The thing is, she's taking the fall. I think you're right.
Right.
And so consequently, how much is she being paid to do this?
Yeah, a little public investment. Here's money. You go out in front of everybody, and then after it's all said and done with, you'll go retire off somewhere. People will forget your name in about 3 weeks.
That's fine. But who's paying her?
Good question.
That's a very good question. And I think it may be our president.
President or somebody up there in the White House, whatever it is, because like I said earlier, you're talking about money and power.
But see, that's the thing. I say our president is paying her. In reality, our president is not paying her. Our president is not smart enough to pay her. The people who are pulling his strings are paying her.
Right.
And that's the question. We've got to find out who these people are.
Well,
the thing is, once we change presidents and we get a different president in there, chances are all these people are going to be out of place. They're all going to be out of a job. They're all, not necessarily out of a job, but they're going to be out of their position in pulling the strings. So it's all going to be over. It's going to change. It's possible that we could get another idiot in there, and we could have them pulling the strings again.
Or kind of take what you're saying. The president may change, but the president is just a figurehead.
That's right.
And somebody else is pulling the strings. Whoever we put in there, they'll be going, well, Mr. President, welcome on board. And,
that's why we need to pay attention to who we're going to be electing. We've got a chance at this particular point to elect somebody with a brain. We've got a chance at this particular point to elect somebody who thinks. And consequently, now is our chance to do it.
Yeah, but look, wasn't it Kennedy that actually started getting involved and going against the trend, so to speak? And even though they're still investigating.
It's a possibility that we get somebody in there with a brain, and he's going to get shot.
Yes, that's my point.
That's possible.
Who knows? So, who knows that Obama didn't get threatened, or any president after him? Who knows? Really, who knows what goes on behind closed doors in there? What's really going on?
Well,
like you said, somebody with power is pulling the strings, and they threaten somebody's life per se, which probably has happened to a president. From inside, you will cooperate. You will just be a good little president, go up before the people, give your little speeches and smiles and just read what it says on the teleprompter, which could also be why whenever Obama's off the teleprompter, it's like, maybe you're right. That's exactly what's going on. He has to be the little puppet, and whoever pulling the strings, or Illuminati or whatever you want to call them, he's just a figurehead. That's all he is.
Well, we need to be careful and try very hard to elect somebody that isn't a figurehead, somebody that does have a brain of their own, somebody that does perhaps put up a fight against these people that are pulling the strings. He may lose his life. I don't know.
What are they going to do? Same thing. I believe a lot of these people go into office, whether it's presidency or vice president or whatever, they go into office with some really good intentions, and it doesn't take very long, like I say, before the guy in the black suit comes along and says, welcome aboard. If you value your life, you're going to play with the rules. You go against us, we're either going to kill you or we're going to kill your family.
See, that's where I think we made this mistake this time. Because I don't think that this guy went in the office with the greatest of intentions. I think he went in the office with the idea that I'm just going to sit here and do my thing and let somebody else worry about it. He didn't have any idea of doing anything of his own. He had no brain of his own. He didn't have a thought of his own. He was entirely unaware of what was going on around him when he was elected. And what has been that way all along.
Listen to these first 10 seconds here again.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Now, what does that mean to you?
Well, I don't know, because without all the rest of it to base that on, I'm not going to make a statement on 10 words.
Well,
it just can't be done.
Well, even his wife has come out and openly said that she didn't like America until she got elected. And we've had a Supreme Court justice who wouldn't recommend the Constitution. We have a president that openly says that the Constitution gets in his way, and then we have him coming right out again and saying that to ultimately change America. And
but you see, I don't think he knows what he's saying. That's what I'm telling you. He can't be held responsible for what he says, because he isn't smart enough to have that opinion or even think about that. This is something somebody else's. None of these words are his. Consequently, this is something we've got to find somebody who does have a brain of their own and doesn't have the same writers. Shall we say, to elect is a we've got to wait. That's just all there is to it.
We got to wait, but we also have to. There's a movement that has started, and like the four groups that got together earlier this month and actually drove across the United States to meet, to protest, even just showing up. People are on Facebook, which is, again, something that any government hates, is the way people can communicate and for example, that one trucker strike thing in about a week and a half, it had over 100,000 likes before Facebook took it down. And, as more information is coming out, like NBC, for example, doing their report on the Affordable Care Act, and there also, I guess, was another report on Benghazi, which isn't making Hillary look that great either. But as more and more as this stuff starts coming out, if we can keep the movement going and remind people that you don't have to drive to D.C., all you have to do is, send letters and phone calls. It's very peaceful-like, and keep the pressure on. I mean, Syria was a great example of how effective that was, even though they still are kind of thinking about doing it. But it was enough to at least halt what they were going to do. And
so you keep bringing up these people driving to D.C. or doing whatever. These people are not doing anything. They're just taking a vacation, and that's all there was to it. They didn't even know what they were going after or why. I mean, they were just there because it was a big thing, and it was a vacation, and they wanted to do it. The people that are going to do something, they've got to understand that in order to accomplish anything, you've got to put it on paper. You've got to put it on a letter or an internet, send an email by the internet. You could do, if everybody sent an email, everybody in this group, there was supposedly 3 million people. Each one was a million man something or other, and of course none of them was.
Right.
But however many people that were involved, if every one of those people were to send an email every day, once a day, not, doesn't even have to be a different email, just deluge their system with that email, they would get some recognition. And maybe, but they're not interested in doing that. They were just there for a vacation is all they were there for. They weren't going to do anything.
Well, I'd like to think otherwise, but I will agree with you in the fact that the cards and letters do work. They do not want people to get involved. That's why they keep throwing these people under the bus or doing their distractions, because basically, as a society, we can only handle one thing at a time, and there's a lot more than one thing at a time going on, and a lot of the stuff, you know, we're not allowed to even know about. But if the movement kept going, if we hold our politicians, our quote-unquote representatives, to the fire, when we have something like Obamacare rollout where they come out and say that it's not my responsibility or I don't have the time to read the bill, we should remember those people and, you know, keep track of their names, because if they come up for reelection, we should remember, well, you didn't have the time to do the job that we sent you to do.
That's right. And so we shouldn't send them back to do anything else. And I mean anything else. I don't care what it is. I mean, if they go for some other office or anything else, and any other thing to do, just say no.
Right.
I mean, just leave them out of the picture entirely. If they didn't have the trouble or didn't want to take your time or trouble to do their job the first time, then to hell with them.
Exactly. I mean, if you need more staff, we'll pay for more staff to do the
job. We don't need more staff. They've got a huge staff.
Yes.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I guess that's what I'm saying, that there's no excuse for...
None.
None.
None. None at all.
Absolutely none. And if they would have done their job, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. We'd be talking about something else.
So either they didn't want to do the job or they didn't know how. Either way, they should not be allowed to do a similar job or
right.
any kind of job for that matter. We'll find a nice place digging ditches for them.
Yeah, put them in a nice little retirement home. You know, they can have little birds chirping.
No.
That's
true. That's what we do.
Yes. They can live in la-la land as they are up in D.C., getting all, you know, making all their money, and sometimes they even show up.
Yep. No, we're to the end here. But anyway, I agree with you. We've got to do something. People have got to get on the ball here and in the process, we've got to change the people involved that are doing the business, and hopefully we've got to pay attention to who we're electing and what they are and what they think and what they do, because it's important that we elect the right person. If we elect the right person, it's going to make a huge difference.
Exactly. And with the Internet, there's no excuse for not doing your homework and check source. Reliable source is my advice. Don't just take, you know, what you see on Facebook as gospel. Again, I'd like to thank everybody that joined us in the chat room today, and hope you'll all join us back again next Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. If you like, go to Facebook, like us, send us an email, talk@caribbeanradio.com, and we'll see you all again next week. Again, thank you, everybody.
You have a good day, everyone.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the Like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.